This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pancava. Nuestro Barrio has all of the elements of a soap opera, secrets and rivalries, seduction and tragedy. But as in everyday life, the plots of this soap opera turn on ordinary events. Buying a home, getting a divorce, watching a small family-owned business struggle to survive. Such is the stuff of life for many in North Carolina's immigrant Latino community, the target audience for Nuestro Barrio, that's Spanish for our neighborhood, and the series is being filmed entirely in Durham with a cast of mostly North Carolina actors. Teaching new immigrants about life in the U.S. was the main goal of the series producers when they started out with 3 episodes. Now they're working toward 13 episodes of Nuestro Barrio. They're in the middle of filming right now with hopes of having them shown on Spanish language TV. And joining us right now in the studio is the director and producer, Dilsey Davis. Welcome.
Thank you.
And actress Roxana Haddon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, Dilsey, this was your idea. Yes. How did it get started?
Well, I was watching a novella. Actually, we were some of my coworkers at the Community Reinvestment Association, which is where I work. We were talking about what were we going to do next in terms of media outreach and how we're going to affect the community. And I had mentioned, well, let's do something that impacts the Latino community that would encourage them and inform them about different issues. And we were sitting in the Latin Grill restaurant, which is on Main Street here in Durham. And I looked up and there was a novella on. And I said, hey, why don't we do a novella? So that's basically how it began, as an idea. And then I just started interviewing people at El Centro Hispano and in some other places and started finding out what some of the issues were.
And your idea was to bring practical advice.
Exactly.
And then work it into a soap opera. A novella is the same as a soap opera.
A soap opera, yes. It's a soap opera. I had done another soap opera back when I was in graduate school on breast cancer, and I saw how effective it was at taking real issues and putting them into a fictional narrative, and that people really found it entertaining and they were engaged, and then also just they were also informed at the same time. So this was just, again, another way to do it. And novellas are so popular in the Latino culture that we felt like it was a medium that people were already used to.
Now, are they more popular than soap operas are that you turn on in the afternoons, you know, on English language TV?
I think so. There was this recent article in the New York Times that talked about the impact and the power of novellas in the Latino community. And it's also something that I think families tend to sit around and watch more frequently than in the U.S. culture.
Yeah, family. I remember little girl, and it's time for the soap opera, and grandma and I, everybody sees, there's no division among ages. It's just, it's coming on, and we all sit together.
And so now your trick was to take your standard soap opera line, which is usually very, very involved, right, with love, deception, et cetera, going on, seduction, and then work in, like, little lessons about how to open a checking account, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
it's trying to find a balance. We call it edutainment, finding a balance between the educational components and the entertaining components and trying to weave it together. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's something that we work really hard at trying to find a balance. And sometimes we're like, oh, it's a little bit too preachy and trying to pull back. And but I think the reason that it's more interesting is because there are these storylines that run through each episode that connect one show to the other, and that you become really, you start to care about the characters and what's going on in their lives. And so, for example, the Sanchez family, which is one of the families that we're watching them go through not being able to get a home and to going through the home buying process and then into a home, you really care and you really want them to have that. And so you see this whole progression of in their lives, and people experience that.
So. Well, Roxana, your character in this is Maria Haddon.
That's right.
And if I recall correctly, she catches her husband having an affair.
Yep, she does.
Okay, there's the soap opera part. And they split, more soap opera part. And she then buys a house that she moves into with her kids.
That's right.
And we have a clip here where we get to the lesson part of this. We're over breakfast. She is teaching her kids about equity.
That's right.
Mom, are you sure that buying a house is a good idea? I heard Ricky's mom said that buying a house is very risky.
Yo no creo que eso es verdad. Owning a home is like building wealth or equity.
Equity? ¿Qué es eso?
Vamos a ver.
And then she goes on to explain what equity is, and in Spanish, but maybe you can explain. She tells this story by using the boxes of cereal.
That's right. Because it's nice that I had children because I could keep it simple, but also for the public, it keeps it simple. So we use props, you know, to help explain what equity was. And it was much more simple to use these props to, you know, see the difference of how your money's going into a rental place versus buying a house and where the money goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how does she explain that with the cereal boxes?
Well, I take the cereal and I put it first in the box that I'm renting, and visually they see that the money's going there. Eventually, I take the cereal and put it in the box that it's ours, you know, representing our home. And so very, very clearly, this is ours. And so it's our money now.
Right, right. So you're filming right now. You initially did 3 episodes, and then you got more funding to do a full 13.
Mm-hmm.
And where is this going to air? Would it be on Spanish language TV, or where is it going?
It's actually going to be on various stations. In North Carolina, our goal is to actually start airing January the 28th, approximately January 28th, in the Southeast markets, which includes North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and Virginia. And so a lot of the stations are actually English-speaking stations. Mm-hmm. And then we have a few independent Latino stations as well. Yes. So it's pretty much a first. I think I am really excited and that some of these station managers are willing to take on the show, because it's a first to have a show like this that's a Spanish-language show with English subtitles on English-speaking television.
Well, that'll be a first.
It's mm-hmm. different.
Yeah. So you're filming in Durham.
Yes.
Is that because you're here and it's because where you got the idea sitting in that grill?
Well, I work for the Community Reinvestment Association, so that's here. And also, I was living in L.A. earlier this year, and of course, it's just too expensive to do anything there. But this is where the show was born, and so we wanted to keep it here. And we're working with so many people in the community and businesses that are allowing us to use their places. We've been all over downtown Durham and shooting in locations, and so people have been really helpful. And I think that I see in the community that everybody wants the show to be successful, so we've gotten a lot of support.
Mm-hmm. When you're filming in Durham, do you have to make a lot of changes to things, or just use it as any town USA? Is it said this is Durham, North Carolina?
No, it doesn't say Durham. It's any town, medium-sized town, USA, where there's a growing Latino population.
Right. Now, it's been said that the target for this would be first generation. Now, would that be people who have, because I see varying definitions of first generation, is mm-hmm. it people who have just emigrated here, or would it be the children of those people?
I think our first goal is to hit newly immigrated people, which are people who they may have kids that are born here, but they themselves came to this country and weren't born here. Mm-hmm. So that's our first target market. But then there are a lot of people who that will benefit from watching the show. Actually, I think anyone, if you watch the show, is going to benefit from the information, because it impacts anyone most of the time. There are acculturation issues that we deal with that are very specific to being Latino, trying to be in the United States. But a lot of the financial literacy issues anyone can learn by watching it, because it's the same information for anyone.
Yeah, I've been in this country for a long time, and I actually, doing the show, have learned of things I believed, you know, we call myths. And I was like, really? And so as an actress, you know, learning the information, I was really educated already.
Well, give me an example of something that you were misinformed about before.
Mostly regarding buying housing, because things changed often. And sometimes people think that if you don't have documentation, you know, or if you're illegal or certain things, how you can go about buying a home, for example. And you do have to follow certain rules and do have some documentation, but it's not like people think you can't do it and things like that. So I think it's important to keep informed. And things like this change too, as, you know, the rules or the government changes.
Yeah.
So you have to keep informed.
And there's a storyline in there too about somebody, and this is a common enough, I think it transcends all people, people getting a credit card solicitation in the mail, and hey, it's free money.
Yeah. I was actually there myself when I went to college. I mean, when I first got to college, I had credit cards thrown at me left and right, and didn't understand the interest rates and, whoa, had fun with my friends out shopping. And it's actually something that's not, I think almost all of my friends went through that in college. And I went to Duke. It wasn't anything like, oh, well, I didn't know any, but I just really didn't pay attention and paid the minimum payment. And so that's something, too, that I think young people get caught in up in. And then, unfortunately, it follows you for a long time if you're not able to get out of the debt.
Mm-hmm. So your background, you were a performer and also in public health. Is that correct?
I originally had planned on being a doctor and was torn between a career in medicine and a career as an actress. I'd been acting for a long time and started directing when I was 13 and finished Duke and was getting ready, decided to take a year off to make sure I was making the right step and started doing theater and started working in the film business in Wilmington. And I think, and then I took another year off to do some more film. And my mom just really encouraged me to do what I was passionate about. And I realized that I could help people through the media and as an actress and as, you know, a producer as well. And so I just made a decision to, okay, well, let me go get my degree in public health and use that information and weave it back into doing media work.
Are you going to work some of those public health issues into future scripts? Because
yes.
Right now we've been talking mostly about finance.
Finance, yeah. Yes. Actually, the first half of the season focuses more on financial literacy, but the second half deals with, we're going to talk about diabetes, for example. That's something that's really prevalent in the Latino community. And so that's one of the issues that we're going to address in a domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. And so, Roxana, how did you come to this project?
Well, I've known Dilsey since I came to North Carolina. And I was working as a teacher and teaching middle school Spanish for a while. And I needed a break, and she's heard this from me before. So she found this opportunity. She's like, well, I need someone to play the role of a doctor because I need someone who speaks both languages. Mm-hmm. And so here I was, mm-hmm. lucky me.
And she's really also a performer it. As well. She yeah. actually performs with a Peruvian group.
Yeah.
And you're from Peru originally?
I'm from Peru originally. And yeah, with my family, we had a group called El Viento Canta. We did folkloric music and travel. So yeah, I love entertainment. Never thought about acting, but I'm really enjoying it, that challenge, although I find it incredibly difficult, and I admire all actors and actresses. Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's still a family thing, because your son was the person, the young boy we heard in the clip we played a little bit.
Yes, and he's actually discovered that he actually likes acting, and so now he's moving into that direction, which makes me very happy, because sometimes children don't know what direction to take when they're very young. So I'm happy that he's finding himself.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the storyline, the general soap opera, telenovela storyline here. Is it's a rivalry between these two families?
Yes, a rivalry between two men. There is Salvador, who is the owner of the nightclub. And then there's Manuel, who is the owner of the restaurant, and they have a long history. And so the whole storyline is about what's the secret. That's one of our taglines for the show. What's the secret? Why do the two of these people hate each other so much? And I think that's what unfolds as the storyline continues, and it can have some devastating impacts on many people.
Now, you have music in every episode, because a lot of the action takes place in a bar or restaurant, mm-hmm. with music going on a stage. Is it, and we know that, you know, Hispanic music is rather a broad sweep, but is it all salsa music that we hear through there, or is it, do you have a great breadth of music representing different countries?
Yes, that's our goal, and that's one of the great things about having the restaurant and having the nightclub, because the nightclub, we feature more of the salsa, merengue, bachata music, and then during the restaurant, which we've now opened a new restaurant, because in the show we are
burned.
There's something happens in the rest to the restaurant.
We don't tell the storyline all the way. Okay.
And anyway, but we are also going to feature more folkloric music in the restaurant, so we'll be able to get a good mix of the next episode that we're shooting. We're going to have a mariachi band, so we're really excited. And then we're going to go with Peruvian music, and so there's going to be a good mix for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think because everybody doesn't necessarily like salsa, and everybody doesn't like the mariachi bands or the traditional Mexican music. So I think we have a wide range, and I'm also excited because we're able to feature a lot of local talent, and so local bands. So that's really a great thing.
Now, Roxana, is your family's Peruvian band going to play in this, or
it's yeah? I hope so. I love to. I think at the beginning in one of the episodes, we actually used a little bit of my music. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, very good, very good. And we should say that you got the funding originally for this from Freddie Mac, which people know for mortgages and
yes.
so on. And they've continued funding. What about after that, after you make these 13 episodes?
We hope that the show is very successful and a lot of other funders will want to come on board. So our goal is to really do a great marketing plan and make sure the show gets out there and it's successful. And our hope is that, you know, funders will see it and sponsors, and maybe we could get more commercial sponsors to come on board so that we can continue the series.
And these are half-hour shows.
They're half-hour shows.
How long does it take to film a half-hour? Did you spend a week to make a half-hour program? Or
pretty much. It takes almost 2 weeks to go through the rehearsal process with the actors, and then the next week after that we film. And then, of course, then there's the long period for post-production that goes through after that.
So when do you finish filming?
March 1st, so we've got a while.
But you're hoping to be on the air in January? Or
yes, end of January. So we'll still be filming while the show is on air.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. People may recognize you then.
Yeah, you can come be in the show.
Yes, you can be an extra.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Dilcy Davis is the director and producer of Nuestro Barrio, Our Neighborhood, and Roxana Haddon is an actress in Nuestro Barrio. And for today, that's the state of things. If you have a comment about our program, you can send us an email here at sot@wunc.org. Our program is produced by Corey Princel, Megan Davis, Al Wadarski, Dave DeWitt, and Susan Davis. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thanks for listening. I'm Melinda Penkava.